Oh, hi, that's kind of dark. Our good friend Bobby Connor gives this quote, "We are all too familiar with a God we barely know. There's so much more. He's continually stretching us, surprising us, and taking us higher and deeper in his love." And I want to read from Isaiah. David wisely shared many of these scriptures, or some. Isaiah 9, 6, 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace." And verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
Yes.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So the government of God is on Yeshua's shoulders. And as sons and daughters of God, he calls us kings and priests.
Amen.
And we have some catching up to do.
Amen.
As the remnant bride, the ecclesia, the body of Christ around the world. And I'm here today to encourage you with the hope of all creation. The Ancient of Days has prepared everything for you. That we are in a time of evil and chaos, but the Lord looks to you as pillars in this community to impact and spread his light and his love.
Amen.
I'm reminded of a good friend of ours. Anna knows well P.G. Vargas in India. He's known as the Billy Graham of India.
Yeah.
Over 10, 20,000 churches. We won't say exactly to protect their safety. And one of the most humble men that I've ever met. He, as a real apostolic leader, with many pastors and members under his leadership. I think he's 85 years old now,
wow.
Maybe 86,
wow.
And still going strong. 15 years ago, at their headquarters in New Delhi, there was a dispute between the state and the national government. And so this was a pretty new, kind of looked like an affluent neighborhood of homes and offices. Newer cement buildings, and the state government began to bulldoze the buildings, and the bulldozers were headed towards their compound. John Osteen, Joel's father, had given money to build this compound, and they had their ministry headquarters there. They had some classrooms, lodging, and I just now remember that when I went there the first time, maybe 20 years ago, PG had me stay. I was the first one to stay in an apartment that was reserved for John Osteen. So that was a blessing. And PG says to pray for Joel that he'll have the heart that his father had for the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bulldozers were coming. They had tore down this building. And I've been there, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And it looked like a bomb, a war zone, or an earthquake had gone off. These pretty new buildings just crashed down, fallen haphazard, and you had to weave through the street, which was once wide, was now a jagged zigzag. And the bulldozers were coming to him, and the workers, his assistants, his leaders said, "Thank you, Anna." And said, "Uncle, we need to move the files of the ministry and the computers out. That's the lifeblood of our ministry." And you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, we are in the heat of the moment.
Amen.
The Word of God, the Spirit of God is in us.
Amen.
We will be faced in the days ahead with some intense, prophetic, intuitive, instinctive decisions.
Amen.
Facing the enemy.
Right.
We're in a war. There's wars on many fronts, but I was telling David and Elaine, this morning I woke up hearing, I've got good news, and I've got gooder news. But in between, it's going to look frightening at times. But the Lord knows this. He knows the end from the beginning. He prepared us for this time. And he's asking us to rise up as sons and daughters of God, as kings and priests, to be able to face the enemy, face the giants, as David encouraged me, to slay the giant. We've got, David had one giant, Goliath. We have giants all around. Lord, we pray right now for the younger generation, and those that are in public schools are being influenced and brainwashed with gender dysphoria and confusion. Lord, protect them.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for the godly teachers, Lord, who are fighting the good fight of faith, Lord, to stand for the protection of the innocents. And Lord, we know that throughout the ages, the spirit of Moloch has gone after to kill the children from the time of Moses to Jesus to now, with the millions of aborted babies that are now with you in paradise, Lord. We pray for the protection of our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren should Jesus tarry. Lord, that we can rise up, that we can do what you call us to do with boldness and confidence in Christ alone. Lord, that we can remember and know and discover our supernatural identity in Christ Jesus, that we are seated in heavenly places with you, Lord, that we can do battle from the third heavens to pierce through the second and even the first heaven, Lord, to go higher and deeper, to set the captives free. Isaiah 60 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to set the captives free. There are captives being set free, Lord. And our hearts break and we empathize with the sufferings of the saints, of the innocents, and Lord, the millions or billions that don't know you yet, Lord, that you would send Spirit-filled people across their path to be beacons of hope, of prophetic destiny, of mountain-moving faith, even bulldog faith. Lord, in the book of James, it says that a double-minded man achieves nothing. Lord, we choose by faith to be single-minded, focused on your word, on your sovereignty, on your majesty. Lord, you are holy and pure, and you placed us where you want us strategically, Father, that we just continually endeavor to surrender more, to die to self daily, to be able to walk as your mature sons of God in these days,
yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
We seal each person's destiny now covered in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, that we would not back down. We're not going back to Egypt. And like Job said, Lord, though you slay me, I will trust in you. Lord, we trust you and show us how to love you, to honor you, to obey you, Father, for all that you've done. As it says in the New Testament, there aren't enough books in the world to contain all that Jesus did. And Lord, let us be a sign and wonder in our day, Lord, that though a prophet is not honored in his hometown, Lord, that these here in the Martinsville, Collinsville area, Lord, that are friends and neighbors, this is really a city on a hill. And bless you, John and Mary Ann and the team that has persevered and labored here. Lord, that truly the best days are ahead, Lord, that,
yeah.
Lord, help them to prepare the building additions, the chairs that are going to be needed. As the times intensify, Lord, people will be coming up that hill looking for hope.
Yeah.
looking for solace, looking for safety, for comfort. Lord, that these really are apostolic, prophetic leaders in your army being prepared for the days ahead, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for your word that is alive, Lord, that talks about leaders of old, of the heroes of the faith, Lord, like we read in Hebrews 11, Lord, of those that were living in caves in the desert, those that were sawn in two, that were boiled in oil, Lord, that they were not worthy of this earth. But Lord, your word says, because you had something better for us, I take that as meaning us here today, that you had something better for us, that apart from us, those heroes of the faith would not see their promises fulfilled. Lord, that when we look up at the sky, we can see the same stars that Noah looked at, that Abraham and Moses looked at, that Daniel and Joseph looked at. Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we just hang our hat on Jesus as Messiah. And Lord, we thank you for humility as being a real hallmark of a mature leader, a son or a daughter of God. Lord, I'm reminded of Apostle Paul in his early days after his encounter with the Lord. He would say, I am the chief apostle. But by the time he's an older man, he says, I'm the least of the saints. Lord, help us to grow in that fullness of stature as Jesus, our high priest, our chief intercessor, intercedes on our behalf day and night and day, even now. Yeshua, you're interceding on our behalf, that we would believe the way you created us to believe. Jesus, you said the work of the Father is to believe. Help us to be about the Father's business, believing, knowing that you are the God of the impossible.
Yes.
Next is 2 Peter 1:4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ to those who have received, obtained an equal privilege like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Obtained, this is from the Amplified Classic Version, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that our righteousness is as filthy rags, but as we awaken and assimilate our supernatural identity in Christ, you can picture it like this. Maybe you all stand up just for a moment. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, acknowledging we can do nothing apart from you, Jesus. And our righteousness truly is as filthy rags. We're nothing in ourselves. But Lord, by faith, we step into the righteousness of Christ. So right now, just take a step forward as we step into the righteousness of Christ. Lord, it's not I who live, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Christ in me, the hope of glory.
You may be seated. Years ago, Bob Jones said, maybe 12, 15 years ago, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. But the Lord equips us with his presence, his peace, his shalom, his strong tower, his angelic armies, armies to war on our behalf, armies of angels to minister to us, to bring comfort, to not be surprised But honestly, I'm surprised at some of the things that have happened. What happened in the last few years seems like it happened much quicker than anybody anticipated.
Right.
Some prophetic voices got parts of it right. We see in part, we prophesy in part, but we need each other more than ever before. And your fellowship here is a mighty one. You know, in December, the Lord was showing me what he gives me for 2024, and it was like a beautiful tapestry. And so you are part of these holy threads of faith, of silver and gold and yellow and red, of a unique tapestry in this region. And he's calling us out of the church walls.
Amen.
And he's opening those walls. He's repairing the fences, so to speak.
Amen.
So that a fence will not be in the way for us to welcome.
Amen.
And the great harvest has begun. We're hearing, and we've all heard, you know, many Islamic, Arabic, Muslim people around the world are seeing visions of the man in white. I've talked to people like this, and when you see, they're fierce fighters, and it goes back to the time of Abraham and Ishmael and then Isaac, and how women will bruise the head of the enemy. And it's like this beautiful historical tapestry of a generational mandate across generations. And so the words we speak, the actions we take, are impacting future generations. The younger generation, I don't know which one is current, is it Gen Z? They don't like hypocrisy. We don't like hypocrisy.
Right.
But what has kept them away is they see, well, why would I become a Christian? How are they different? And Lord, just illuminate us with your presence that our actions would speak louder than our words, and they would sense something different about us. Can we love without judging? Can we empathize with them? So many younger generations today, they don't have hope. Who's going to give them hope? It's you. You're a messenger of fire. You're a messenger of God's truth and his hope and his joy to be demonstrated. So let me go back to P.G. Vargas. The bulldozers are coming into the compound in Andheri Mode 26 in New Delhi. And the leaders and the assistants are saying, we need to move the files. We need to move the computers. It's the lifeblood of our ministry. So in that moment, that prophetic instinctive, as I like to call it, comes in, and the word is alive in your heart. You've got bulldozers coming to tear down your church, your offices,
wow,
your house. He says, don't remove one paperclip.
Wow.
And he told me later, he said, Brother George, I was shaking in my boots.
Wow.
But these people around me were looking for a solid, convicted obedience to the Lord. And they insisted, and the bulldozers were getting closer. There were three bulldozers, and they were getting closer. And he said, don't remove one paperclip. And he stands there. He's terrified inside, but he's got these people around, church members, staff, leaders, assistants, young apostolic leaders, looking to him. And he said, don't remove a paperclip. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, without risk, there's no room for faith to work.
Amen.
Anna can tell you the risks that we've taken and continue to take. And I so love and appreciate her wisdom and her balance.
Amen.
We need that. We need each other.
Amen.
To bounce ideas off.
Amen.
David and Michelle Bates are on our board, and we so honor and cherish and appreciate them, because I don't want to mess up. I don't want to miss God.
Amen.
And I don't want to miss him out of fear or unbelief or paralysis of analysis. And that's like a plague of modern churchianity, that we're called to help people get free of the religious spirit, the political correctness spirit, the woke mentality. There's perversion. You know, as the Bible says, they call good evil and evil good. We're called to be like the plumb line of Zerubbabel, to say, no, wait a minute. The word says this. And we need to stand by this. We need to protect the younger generation. We need to protect our God-ordained founding fathers' Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. It's all under threat. They want to do away with it. They don't even follow it. And many of the court cases that are going on now, going after Trump, for example, they lack jurisdictional oversight in the areas that they're doing. So even scholars and the legal profession is sucked up in that swamp of political correctness and trying to legislate stuff that they have no jurisdictional authority to do. We need to become educated. We need to be outspoken. Some need to be undercover.
Yes.
But as watchmen and watchwomen on the wall, we need to seek the Lord and the intimate relationship that he has for each one of us, that we would be obedient in those spheres that he calls us to know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Right.
I don't think Kenny Rogers is in the Bible, but
no.
He thinks he was.
Right.
So what do we have next? Okay, go on to the next one. There is that.
I'm
new...
moving it and you're not seeing it.
There we go.
Is that the one you want or not? Next.
No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me. And then I will raise him up from the dead in the last day. How many feel that the Lord called you to walk this life the way he's showing you? We all have. And next. Oh, this was a poem. Maybe later, John, you can share that. I love to write. I want to write more. And occasionally he gives me poetry. And remember Jacob's ladder? You know, he ran all day, he wore himself out, he was at the end of his rope, the end of his strength, and he laid his head down on a rock and slept. When he'd done all he could do in the physical, he laid down and the Lord gave him a vision of Jacob's ladder. That Jacob's ladder is very similar to the strands of DNA. And our walk with the Lord often is like going up Jacob's ladder, angels ascending and descending. And as we go higher, we can see farther the higher we go. Okay, Jan? Well, this is a little hard to read here. Just as an artist signs his signature at the bottom of their canvas painting, our Heavenly Father's signature is found in all human DNA. And this is John 14, 20 and 23. At that day, you will know that I am He the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Anyone who loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and come to him and make our home in him. He's in you. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For he is the God of the Ancient of Days. Okay. Oh, and this here, you can study this later. Many of you probably heard of the laminin protein that holds us together. So on every molecule in our body is this laminin protein. And it's shaped like a cross.
Yeah.
His word is written in our heart. His word, the cross, is in every molecule of our body. How great is our God? How beyond the wonder? You know, and there are treasures and truths that are hidden, just like the Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden until 1948. There are correlations proving God and his love in science that will become more and more matched up in the days ahead. We think we know a lot as humans. David talked about it. The Bible talks about it. Even when Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven, he got full of himself. And he saw himself that he could be as God. We fall on our faces in humility, Lord. Forgive us, for we know not what we've done when it comes to terms of pride or self-elevation or self-promotion.
Right.
Lord, you are our maker. Amen. And you are our creator and our healer. And you do everything. And Lord, help us to just understand, to give up, to get out of the way. Lord, help me to get out of your way so you can have your way, Yahweh. We're messengers of his fire, and continually we seek him. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So when Jesus ascended, after his death, burial, and resurrection, and walking through walls during those 50 days, 40 days before ascension, he could sit down physically and eat with the disciples and friends. Put literal physical food in his mouth, walk through a wall, and no residue, no broccoli and carrots stuck to the wall. How's that happen? There's so much more, and the veil between heaven and earth is getting thinner and thinner. You know, heaven is invading earth. Isaiah 35 talks about the highway to heaven. And this is just my own feeling or opinion, that the highway to heaven is those supernatural encounters that we've each had. You know, we share them with some people and they just say, that's unbelievable, or they don't get it, right, or they don't accept it, or they say, well, I don't understand that. There's a lot more that we don't understand. But those testimonies, and the Greek root word of testimony is, do it again,
amen.
Lord, do it again. Amen. So it's important to share testimonies. That those testimonies are like the golden pavers paving that highway to heaven. In your life, what you saw, what you experienced, is undeniable. Nobody can take that away from you. It's not seen. Maybe it can't be proven yet scientifically. But yet Jesus could eat with the disciples, eat what they were eating, walk through a wall. It's like there's a fine line between this earthly realm and the eternal heavenly realm,
yeah,
and multiple realms, really, that we know very little about. But by his grace and by his favor that we have through Jesus, he's allowing us to push, or he's pushing the envelope within our own understanding and our capacity to comprehend of who he is between the seen realm and the unseen eternal realm, which is our true home. So be prepared to be stretched more as you encounter dreams and visions, translocation, being translated into other areas where needed. Probably all of you have had times where your heart is interceding for someone else in another location.
Right.
And you can feel in your spirit, or maybe in the night season in dreamland, you feel that you're there laying hands on people. Just be ready for more of those things which don't make sense, don't fit into our logic, but fit into God's eternal mastery and majesty of things that humans don't understand yet. And even in, remember John 14:12, Jesus' own word said, even greater works than these shall you do. So Lord, prepare our hearts, our stamina, our tenacity to persevere through the trials, through the chaos, through the fake news and the media demonic manipulation that is going on all around us, that we can see and discern, like the sons of Issachar, discern the times, discern the spirits, and to know. I've been subject to scams and spams and things that I got from, I thought, trusted friends, and turned out later it was like fake news.
Right.
So it makes me very hesitant to share anything that I haven't taken the time to research and to vet. And then who do you know? It's like the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. We need to rely on Him more and more.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jane. Flip the switch. There's another great poem that, from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. In the beginning, Jesus was the Word, and the Word was Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Hebrews 4:12 on the left. For His word is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We thank You, Yeshua, that You make it. Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. And Father, forgive me for times I've made it complicated, harder than it needed to be, and help us to walk in Your peace and Your light and Your joy, that Jesus, You are the Word, and nothing was made that You did not make. And let us stand strong in that rest, in that strong tower. You know, in Hebrews 3 and 4, we read about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, did not make it into the promised land because they didn't have the word mixed with faith. Lord, strengthen our faith of mountain-moving faith, risk-taking faith. Lord, we don't have to understand. We just obey. We get an impression or a sign or a picture or a commandment. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Lord, help us to walk in that greater authority with all humility as a bondservant of the Lord. Okay, Jim. Other poem, go ahead. You can trust Him. And you can trust Him. We can choose this day whom we serve. We are in the times where we're going to be choosing in the moment who we serve. Amen. Things are going to get fast and furious and faster and furiouser. But we've got the good news and we've got the gooder news. That we don't have to be shaken or swayed by the world or the cares of man or the pride of the flesh or the pride of life, that we can rest in Him. I'm so blessed to meet people from many cultures and backgrounds, and everyone's looking for love, for authenticity, for an understanding heart, a safe space, a safe environment where they can be themselves for who they are. You know, the word says that we have many teachers, but we don't have many fathers. And I know there's a lot of fathers with the Father's heart in this room, and we'll be hearing this. And it's time for us to be wise shepherds.
Amen.
You know, Jesus would leave the 99 to go after the one. And we need to train our friends and our people how to hear the voice of the shepherd in his myriad and diverse ways of understanding, and not to make clones or subservient robots or duplicates of us, but to point everybody to Jesus Christ. Look at him. Look at him. He'll show you how he made you. And it's a beautiful, unique creation. And you're all part of this tapestry of warriors in Henry County, Virginia.
Amen.
Where people will be, they're already suffering trauma. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for a safe place where they can feel the love, the empathy, like Jesus was tempted in all things, yet he did not sin. You know, we read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
And he says, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Not my will, but your will be done. So that tells me when he says, not my will, but your will be done, that Jesus had a will, but he wanted to do the Father's will. And so he was faced. I love how David shared many illustrations and examples of loving your neighbor, loving your enemy, and walking through the persecution. We will be increasingly walking through persecution and threats, manipulation, witchcraft of all types. But how do we just stay in his peace and say, what can man do to me?
Right.
I know my Savior lives, and I know where I'll be, absent from the body, present from the Lord. You know, years ago when I first got into missions, I thought things would be one way, and the Lord showed me it's much different.
Wow.
Had friends martyred in prison, almost every bone in their body broken. And you know, we empathize and say, oh brother, that must have been terrible. And then Brother F come back and say, Brother, I wish it was even longer that I was in prison.
Wow.
Because Jesus came to teach me every day.
Wow.
You know, I got a texting regularly, weekly with our friend Osmani in Cuba.
Wow.
The conditions are the worst they've ever been since Fidel took over in 1958 and 59.
Wow.
I remember being there just, and Anna was there just a few years ago. It was like 10 pesos to the dollar.
Wow.
Now it's 321 pesos to the dollar.
Wow.
And here, some of their major crops are coffee, rice,
right,
and beans, and they can't get it.
Wow.
It goes to the elite, it goes to the tourists. Tourism,
right,
is their biggest
tourism
industry. And we have our CMM College of Theology has classes online around the world. If you're interested, you can take some information on the table to find out more about it. And we offer accredited Christian degrees, associates, bachelor's, master's one, master's two, Christian counseling, doctoral, and PhD classes. And many pastors have come to school after 10, 20, 30 years in ministry, and it's like the word comes alive because it's the word with the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you saying now? What's the rhema word for today? Fresh meat, manna from heaven for now. And so in Cuba, we have 7 campuses that are in churches across the island of Cuba. Internet is very expensive. Data plans are very expensive. So they have to meet in person once a month for 4 days. The pastors sleep on the floor of the churches, and study, fellowship, enjoy each other's company.
Wow.
And there's pastors from 26 denominations coming together. So when the heat of the battle comes, you will see more pastors and churches working together, of coming together, of what can we do together.
Right.
You know, we've got the non-compromising essentials. Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to the Father. God is a Trinity. The Word of God is infallible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fruits and the gifts of the Spirit are still functioning and need to function even more so. And so these pastors get together in different regions, and their power is out. In Havana, it's on most of the time, probably 3 or 4 hours a day it's on. But in the other provinces to the east, towards Guantanamo, and to the west of Pinar del Rio, it's often off 18 hours a day.
Wow.
And
that's a lot.
We have become so materially affluent that we lost our pioneering spirit that made this country great.
That's
but it's a time for the pioneering spirits in the revelational realm to take hold and to prepare the Goshens of where people can find rest and safety. You're so blessed here to have 10 acres.
Right.
This is a Goshen and has been for some time, but it's going to become like an embassy of heaven to bring people in to give hope. And who are those people that are in the great harvest? Are they gang members? Are they drug addicts? Are they homosexuals? Are they prostitutes? Are they human trafficking victims? Are they migrant workers that come through seasonally to work the orchards?
Right.
Be ready. Who are we? We were sick. Jesus didn't come to heal the well. He came to heal the sick. We just happened to go to the doctor first before those that didn't know Jesus. So Lord, we just humble ourselves and we trust you. Go ahead, Jay.
Yes. By the way, we are 10 acres sitting in the midst of 500 acres.
Wow, beautiful.
500 here. And it's surrounded by the, we're surrounded by the river.
Yeah, beautiful.
Wow.
The place of peace, a Goshen.
Goshen, I received that. How many of you received that wellspring?
Amen.
I received that here.
The wellspring.
Amen.
You were born with a mission from God.
Wow.
Do you know him? Do you know him? As my God, do you know him? Yes, we know him. The next one, Jan. Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day that you find out why.
Come on. Yeah, God.
He gives us all we need. What's our excuse? He has put the seed of greatness in you because Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, lives in you. So I speak to the dormant dreams and the hopes, Lord, of things we thought in the past that we just seemed impossible. Lord, that nothing is impossible with you, Lord. I just speak to a reinvigoration of the youth rising up on eagle's wings. Lord, that Joshua and Caleb and Moses, and we read so many. I mean, Sarah got pregnant when she was 90 years old.
Don't look at me.
And Lord, we speak to those dreams, those ideals from when we were children, Lord. Some in here had dreams of an orphanage or a business or a school, of writing a book or art or music. Lord, we speak, arise, arise, come out of your slumber, O sleeping giant. That the seeds of greatness, of destiny, of life changing, we look at the characters in the Bible. The disciples were 12 ragtag men. They weren't scholars. And Lord, help us to wake up, Lord, to the Sadducees and the Pharisees' spirits. Lord, I think I've read the Davids may know, or John, who know more about the Bible than I do. But I have read that there were 400 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. And here's Jesus standing in their midst, and they're going, looking down their nose. Nope, he's not the one. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us, Lord, that we would say, stay tender and supple, that you, our potter, could continually put us on the wheel to shape us and make us and mold us into the image of Christ, Lord. Help us not to judge the strangers when they come, because we may well be entertaining angels. Lord, help us to see what you see in other people. Lord, that we, by faith, we just put on your eyes, Lord, your love, your heart of empathy, of understanding, of the compassion of Jesus to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to give hope to all those that are in captivity, Lord. Help us to see in them what you see in them, Lord. Help us to speak and prophesy, declare and decree the word of the Lord, meet in due season, to change lives, to see transformation. Lord, that the way you transformed our lives, we could transform other lives through Jesus, through your love, Yahweh.
Amen.
And Lord, help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Lord, forgive me for the times when I had doubt or unbelief or lacked confidence in Christ alone or was walking in shame or rejection. Lord, cleanse me, cleanse each of us of that, Lord, that we can rise up to be strong, that we can be under your waterfall of revelation, of just pure, holy love.
Yes.
And he wants me to say, that the way the Father loves Jesus is how the Father loves you. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we could experience this boundless love, for you are limitless, you are unstoppable.
Come on.
We thank you for your light, for this car wash in your beauty inside, that you're scrubbing us, Lord, of everything that is not of you, that we could stand humbly in the holy fear of the Lord as a habitation of you, Lord.
Yes.
Good, Jan.
Amen.
Jesus made a way for you to have everything you need right now to complete your Father's ordained assignment. I remember going with Helen, Mom Corral, the wife of the founder of CMM, to the Philippines, I think in 2000, around then, or 99. She was 92 years old. It was 2000, because she went home in 2004. And she was in a wheelchair going down the aisles of the plane. We went to the Philippines, and here's a woman, 92 years old, and could preach for hours every day in different churches in her wheelchair with only the Bible, no notes, and a different message, different topic every day. And people would come up to her that were in their 60s and 70s years old, and they would say, Mom, do you remember? Everybody called her Mom. Do you remember us? Oh, yeah, you're Trina and Philip. And you have children, and she remembered those people. And so it's like those God encounters when you're in their presence, the Lord, those are paving the highway to heaven, because it's like relationships founded on Christ's love that knits your hearts together as one. And Lord, we just celebrate the unity in the Trinity of God that we have now, and that we are eternal creations, seated in heavenly places with you in eternity, Lord, and we see the vast expanse across dimensions and understanding and revelation of, like, wow. No wonder the angels cry, holy, holy, holy,
yes,
night and day.
Yes.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Yes.
The Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. And that we're one. We have the oneness in the Trinity, in The Old Testament, it speaks about the Lord, and it says, the Lord God, He is one. He desires that oneness in us, to be, for us to be in oneness with Him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he's talking about the character of Christ, that what's in our heart comes out in a demonstrable way in our actions, not just our words, but in our actions, in our lives. And that what he calls us to put our hand to, or what's in our hands, is in a congruence, a holy harmony, congruence with the character and integrity of God, that we can be one. So many people are scattered, almost schizophrenic in their spiritual lives. Lord, help us to be one, full, single-minded faith, full of the joy, full of the fruit of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit, that we can really walk in that authority and power, humility, and simplicity of Jesus Christ. Next one, if there are any more. What does that say? Isaiah 6:8.
Yep.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I said, here am I, send me.
That's right.
So let's all stand.
You gotta tell them that easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're all wondering.
Part two. So PG said, don't remove a paperclip.
Right.
And so one bulldozer tries to start, doesn't start. Second bulldozer doesn't start. He goes home frustrated, comes back the next day. The third guy, he's like convicted, and they walk away. And so all that surrounding area in that neighborhood in New Delhi is bulldozed, like war zone, earthquake hit it. And his compound is still there.
Wow. Yeah. Thank God.
So we're facing the giants around us. So yes. Let's together put your right hand up, holding invisible paperclip.
Amen.
Yes. Enemy, you won't take one paperclip.
Enemy, you won't take one paperclip.
I'm called, I'm sent, and I'm set apart.
I'm called, I'm set apart.
And nothing will stop me from loving my God and obeying Him.
And nothing will stop me from loving my God and obeying Him.
Thank you, Abba.
Amen.
Amen.